Amen, amen. Happy New Year, everyone. For those who celebrate lunar calendar, the Chinese New Year, this is the year of the goat, I presume, the sheep and the ram. And as I've been reflecting upon that, we're reminded that in John chapter 1, our Lord, John the Baptist, said of our Lord Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And this past week, we also began Lent as a preparation for Easter. We're reminded that God is the one who prepares the way for each of us to come to His family, to take away our guilt, to take away our shame, to take away our powerlessness in the sacrifice of His Son, the Lamb of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come and we're so thankful for Your great love for us in Christ Jesus. We thank You that in Him and through Him alone, all things were made that have been made. That He is the radiance of Your glory. That He is the all in all. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. And we thank You, O Lord, You've given Him to be a lamb for us. To be a sacrifice that we might, in believing in Him, that we might together become sons and daughters. Released from our guilt, that we might be declared innocent. That we might be freed from our shame and be honored as Your children. That we might be liberated from our captivity. That we might be free indeed. We come, O God, and we thank You for our Lord and for the ways in which He has given us everything that we need for life and liberty. We come and we ask that You would pour out Your Spirit upon us this day. Grant us greater faith, we pray. For we recognize that we often walk as those who do not live in that reality. That we often walk with our eyes to the ground, our eyes on ourselves, often placing our own needs and our selfishness above all others, including You. We ask that You would help us to remember those things even now and confess them to You for the ways in which we have not honored You as the only one worthy of honor. We have not obeyed You and violated Your moral standings by the ways in which we have failed to care for the down and the outcast. We ask that You bring those things to mind even now as we confess them before You. Father, forgive us, for we have not loved You with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We have not honored and loved You as we ought. We have not honored and loved others as You have loved us in Christ Jesus. Forgive us for the words, for the thoughts, for the deeds that we have said and left unsaid. God, we come and we ask that You, O God, would pour out Your Spirit upon us. We thank You that in Christ we can claim the promise that we confess our sins, our brokenness before You. You are faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to give us purity in Christ. We thank You that we can cry out, Abba, Father, and know that You hear us, know that You love us, know that You receive us in Christ. We pray that You would pour out Your Spirit, that that would mean a greater reality in our lives, that we would consecrate and dedicate and separate ourselves for Your purposes in this world. We thank You for the opportunity to be gathered together, to worship together. And we want to remember those who are ailing and those who are mourning this morning. We want to pray for Virginia Chin and for her extended family as they mourn the loss of her mother in New York and their trip back. We pray encouragement and strength and that the eternal hope of salvation would be for their family. We pray for Henrietta May and her family and their children, and pray encouragement and strength for them as they celebrate a life well lived in her dad. And we pray that You, O God, would continue to console and encourage them as they look forward to His reunion with Him in heaven. But we thank You too, You're not only the one who comforts, but You're also one who gives life. And so we celebrate with Julie and Shin the birth of Noah. We thank You, O God, for His safe delivery and pray that You would continue to pour out Your Spirit upon him, upon their entire family, to experience Your grace and Your love in exceedingly increasing measure in these days to come. And Father, we thank you for the opportunities it is for us to bear witness of your goodness and your love in all areas of our lives, in life and in death, in fellowship and in brokenness. We come and we ask that you, O God, will be glorified in all of our activities, especially in this coming year. We dedicate ourselves anew during the season of Lent and anew during this year of the Lamb. We pray that you, O God, would be magnified and glorified in our midst. We pray that too for our brothers and sisters around the world. And we think especially of Chris and Emily, and we ask that you would bless them, encourage them in their time of transition from Taiwan to Hong Kong and wherever you lead them, that you and would bless them and their family, especially with Emily's health. We pray too for our opportunities we have to partner with different ministries and organizations around the world, with World Vision and others. And we pray that you, O God, and Boston Rescue Mission would use these who proclaim your name in word and in deed, that they would be effective in reaching the poor, the outcast, the lost, with the love of Christ that is manifest in very concrete ways, as well as the announcement of the good news in Christ. And so we come and we thank you that you call us, and we pray that this year we would, O God, experience you anew and afresh, that we are your beloved. You call us to be your own, to experience and bask in your love and your grace, and to share that love and your grace with others. We pray for blessings, especially for Sam, and he ministers your word this morning. Open our hearts that we might hear not him, but you through him, that our hearts would be open and malleable, and that we would find great joy and great hope in the eternal hope to come. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks again for joining us. If you're joining us for the first time, we welcome you. And thanks for trekking in the snow to join us this morning. We have a gift in the back if you'd like to register with us, and we'd like to share and get in contact with you. Also, we have the opportunity right now to share the peace of Christ one to another. Let's all rise to share the peace of Christ, because Christ has given us peace with God. We can share that peace with one another. May the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. You can wish each other a Happy New Year if you'd like, if that's appropriate for you, in whatever language that's appropriate.
Revelation. It can be found in your program or in the Pew Bible in front of you or on the overhead screen. Luke chapter 6, verse 21 to 23. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Please rise. Luke chapter 6, verse 21 to 23. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 104, 33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. Revelation 7, 15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Drop my phone. Oh, good. There's a clock there. I don't need my phone. That's good. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Sam. I'm glad you guys are all here and have survived this somewhat of a storm, which actually technically in comparison to the storms that we had before, this was nothing, right? So I'm glad you guys could make it in. If you have been with us, we are going through a series on called Eternal Justice, Eternal Joy, which is basically we are going through an exploration of heaven and hell. And we are continuing this series this morning by looking at what we will do in heaven. But more than looking at what we will do in heaven, my hope this morning is that we will break away from the idea that heaven will be boring. We tend to have this idea that heaven will be boring because when we look through Scripture and trying to discover what we will do in heaven, we tend to find that worship and singing praise to God seems to be the only activity there. And not only that, we tend to want to end up doing this for eternity, which causes us to think that heaven would be boring. However, Randy Alcorn, the book that a lot of us who are preaching in the series, I've been reading Randy Alcorn, who wrote this book on heaven, he says that believing that heaven will be boring portrays a heresy, that God is boring. Which is nonsense because God is the one who created the ways to convey pleasure and for us to experience joy. And to think that heaven will be boring because we will be good all the time shows that sin has so affected our minds that we believe sin to be exciting and that what is righteous and good to be boring. And in light of that, it is therefore important for us to break away from the idea that heaven will be boring. And we can begin to do that when we realize that heaven is where we will forever participate in activities that we have enjoyed here on earth. But before we get into that, talking about what some of these activities are, let us come before the Lord in prayer. Please join me in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We know that you have sent your Son Jesus to die for us, and that you rose him from the dead so that we could be with you, so that we can be in heaven with you. Lord, we know that your Son Jesus has gone back to heaven to prepare a place for us. Lord, I pray that during this time that we would see that heaven, the place that you have prepared for us, is not a boring place. That it is a place filled with activity, filled with joy and satisfaction. Praise in Christ's name. Amen. So I think that some of the good and enjoyable activities that we do and experience here on earth will actually continue in heaven. In particular, I believe that there will be at least three things that we will do and experience in heaven, which are our three points for this morning. The first point is this. I believe that in terms of activity, we will experience laughter. We will experience laughter. If you have your Bibles, if you have your bulletins, please turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at a section of the Beatitudes. Luke has a version of Beatitudes. Matthew has a version of Beatitudes. And in verse 21, what does Jesus say? Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Well, isn't that interesting? For you shall laugh. Most of us have had the opportunity to celebrate Chinese New Year, and usually when we celebrate Chinese New Year, what do? We gather with our family and our friends, and we share a meal together, don't we? And usually when we're having a really good time with our friends and family sharing a meal together, what is one of the noises that we tend to hear? Laughter. Right? We tend to hear laughter because we're having a joyous time, and so we hear laughter. In Revelation chapter 19, John tells us that we will celebrate, that we will be part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I don't think this marriage supper of the Lamb that we'll participate will be boring. I don't think we're going to sit there with bread and wine with straight faces and just say like, okay, here's the bread. With straight face, no laughing, no joyous thing at all, passing things over. I don't think that's the case. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Revelation 19, and you will see that this marriage supper of the Lamb is a celebratory occasion. Starting chapter 19, verse 6 to... Read verse 6 to 9. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And here is verse 9. "And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God." So I find it really hard to imagine that we would not experience any type of joy, that we would not be experiencing any type of laughter in this marriage supper, in this celebration. Now, I'm going to go a little speculation here. You can take it or leave it. But I think during that time, when we're sitting together and having the marriage supper of the Lamb, maybe it is time to share stories. Maybe it is a time when Mary, the mother of Jesus, shares with us a story of when Jesus was 16 years old. After all, we don't know what happened, right? We have the Gospel of Luke that tells us that, okay, up to the point that Jesus was 12 years old. So between the ages of 12 and 30, we have no idea what Jesus was like as a teenager. We have no idea what Jesus was like when in his early 20s. So maybe, speculation here, take it earlier, maybe Mary has some sort of exciting, cute story to tell us of when Jesus was 16 years old that would cause us to laugh. Or, perhaps, you guys know the Apostle Peter was married, right? He had a wife. But we don't find in Scripture how he met his wife. So maybe this is an opportunity for the Apostle Peter on telling how did he meet his wife. And if it was a cute occasion, that may cause us to smile. Or, we will finally hear from Mark on why he mentioned in his gospel account of a man who ran away butt naked while following Jesus at his rest. If you don't believe me, you can turn to chapter 14, verses 51 and 52. There's this small section right after Jesus is arrested, right? And between his, before he stands before the high priest, Mark inserts this point where there's a man who is following Jesus. And then when the guys tried to get him, he ran away, and he ran away butt naked. It seems just out of the blue. It's almost a little humorous. Maybe it's an opportunity at that point. Mark would say, why did you insert that? It's just so out of place. It doesn't make sense to anything. A person that just ran away, was it you? Are you talking about you yourself? You saw him, and then you just ran away butt naked? What was that all about? I think these are occasions, if I'm speculating here, and I think these are occasions that will cause us to smile, cause us to laugh when we are together. Randy Alcorn, in his book, he believes that God actually has a sense of humor. And this is what he says. God created all good things, including good humor. If God didn't have a sense